good to be here this afternoon and to be able to share the Word of God with you. We certainly enjoyed what God had for us this morning as He broke the bread to us, and our hearts were touched with it as we were spoken to. A wonderful thing when we can recognize that God is our Creator and that He's the one who has called us as His sheep and that He cares for His sheep. We've been looking at some of the things concerning the Lord this morning, and I couldn't help but think of Paul's own heart as he met the Lord on the way, and he would say to him, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He knew that he had a responsibility toward God, and he knew that the Lord was going to minister to him as well. And I would like to look this afternoon for a little while at the Lord's ministry to the sheep as the shepherd. I'd like to find a text in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with a span, and measured the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, on the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor has thought of him? With whom took he counsel and instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the coast as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor to be sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then would he liken God, or what likeness would he compare to him?" It's a wonderful thing that as the Lord has given this to us, Isaiah asks some questions here that reach out to our own hearts. He's asked some further on that go along in line with those that he's asked. But I think once we see him as the shepherd, then certainly we can answer the question. We know that there is no one beside him who could take the waters and take all the waters that we know and put them in the hollow of his hand. There's no one but him could take the earth and the mountains of it and weigh it in the balance. There's no one in him but could take his hand and measure the span of the heavens with it. And because of this, we can find that comfort in the one who ministers to us. Verse 11, I believe, gives us a fourfold ministry of the Lord as the shepherd. First of all, we read that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. We learn in our verse that we're the sheep of his pasture. And so he's our shepherd, and the first ministry, I believe, that he has toward us is that of feeding. It's rather interesting that the Lord Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem that was called the House of Bread. The Lord Jesus came, his purpose in coming was to satisfy the need of men, that he might be a Savior for lost souls. And then as he satisfied that need, that he would keep them as sheep and care for them. That's what he gives it to us in John's Gospel, chapter 10. When he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and the Father are one." There is that sense of secure place that he gives to us, when certainly he came to redeem us. But you know, he tells us in the Gospel of John that he was the living bread. As I see the Lord Jesus in his ministry of feeding, I first find him there on the hillside to feed the multitude. When he goes to feed that multitude, he looks to men who are round about him. And there's that question put to them, how shall we feed them? He knew what he was going to do, but I'm sure he wanted to test his own. And as he tested them, they looked at the money, and they looked at the crowd, and they saw that there wasn't sufficient for this multitude. And yet the Lord Jesus, when a little boy is brought to him by Andrew, and maybe Andrew wasn't too sure what the Lord could do with what he was bringing, but he brought it. And the Lord Jesus took that five little barley loaves and two small fishes, and there he broke it on that hillside that day, and he fed the multitude. Have them sit down in companies, and when each one was fed, and that they had gathered up the fragments, there were the 12 baskets left over, there was bread enough in despair. And when I first look at the ministry of feeding of the Lord Jesus, I can see in it there is a sufficiency for all, that none would go hungry. And as I look at that multitude on that hillside that day, if any went hungry, it would have been their fault, because the Master had served sufficient for all. There was enough for everyone. I often think that at conference time, as I hear the varied ministry from the different brethren that the Lord has brought, and I see that there's a sufficient of food to go out for each longing soul, whether it comes as the one who's the babe, or the young man, or the father in the faith. And if anyone goes away hungry, it would be because of a condition of the soul that had found satisfaction in other things and that did not have that longing to be satisfied by the shepherd himself. I wonder, as we came this weekend, if we're here for that desire of extending the hands of our hearts and say, feed me, Lord. Feed me, Lord. You know, if we came in that condition, we're not going to go away hungry. Well, I'm amazed as he fed them there on that hillside that day, and they ran after him to make him a king. And then he gave them that instruction, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but labor that for that which endureth to everlasting life. And they turned to him and they say, well, Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And now he takes up to take the lesson that was there in feeding the multitude, and he takes it in a spiritual way, and he applies it to those that are there. Now, he fed them inwardly. He met their physical need as the shepherd, and now he's going to meet the spiritual need as the shepherd. And as he goes to meet that spiritual need, the first thing he says, I'm the bread of God. I'm the bread of God. He says, the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life to this world. The Lord Jesus identified himself as the bread of God. God sending him to bring life to the hungry hearts of this world. And so in calling his sheep, he says to his sheep, here's a green pasture. That pasture is found in me. It is not found in any other. And beloved, if that verse could teach us something, in these days that we're here and we see his lordship and we see his provision in the pasture Christ himself, that is where we're going to find our satisfaction and nowhere else. Brother Dan reminded us this morning of those who are carried into depression by the news media, carried into depression by the TV. So many people sit and glue their eyes to the soap opera and the radio and the happenings all around us, and they're brought down to that depressed place. My, how wonderful it is when our hearts turn to the shepherd, we take up this psalm, we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and his gates with praise. You know, that's the cure for what our brother brought to us this morning. Because he tells me in the book of Isaiah as well, he's given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when we can turn, it works. When we can turn and by discipline put our mind on Him, the Shepherd who's our care, who's the one who guides us and leads us and gathers us, oh, then we find that blessed place. How many times I've laid my head on my pillow at night, troubled by things that went on in the daytime, whether they were things I thought, things I said, or places I went. And I laid my head, not able to sleep, and mulling over in my brain all the things of the church and many things that bring us to that heavy place in its care today. And then I'd have to say to my own heart, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're thinking on the wrong thing. Turn your mind to Him. And as soon as I turned my mind to the Shepherd, and I entered in with thanksgiving and praise, then the peace came. He's the Shepherd who will satisfy. Because He can, He's the bread of God. But then He's the true bread. And that's what He says in John 6 as well, that He was the true bread. You know, I've thought so many times that in the Second World War, in the countries that didn't have the flour and things, they mixed various things with their flour to make the loaf. To make the loaf extend, make it a little bigger, but it didn't have the nutrition in it. He's not that kind of bread. He's the true bread. He's the bread that comes down from heaven. He's the bread of God. And that's a bread that's going to completely strengthen and satisfy each one He gives it to. And then He could say, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Bread of life. The bread from heaven, but bread that gives life. Now He said that His purpose in coming was to give life and give it abundantly. So the beginning of that life is in coming to Him and being fed by Him, eating that bread and drinking that blood. In the spiritual sense, so many want to take it in the physical sense, but in John 6:63, He says there, the words that I speak unto thee, they are spirit and they are life. So He wasn't given them actuality, He was given them a spiritual picture that as feeding on Him, they had spiritual life. Spiritual life. Satisfaction found in Him. He's the bread. The bread that comes down from heaven. But then you know, He says in John 21, when the disciples were out there in the water, they had gone fishing, the Lord had been crucified, He appeared to some of them, or to all of them, and then they were waiting again. And so they go fishing, and they're out there in the middle of that sea, are offshore a bit, and they're fishing away. I remember standing on the Sea of Galilee and some of these scenes running through my mind. And I see him off there, off the shore, and fishing, and I hear his call, children, have you any meat? No, we fished all night and caught nothing. They weren't in the way that he wanted them. And so he said, pick up your nets and drop it on the other side of the boat. And I imagine for fishermen, they must have scratched their head at that one. Because what's the difference, whether it's this side of the boat or this side of the boat, if it's that close, and they got nets down, they're looking for a multitude of fish. You know what the Lord could have done? He could have just changed that little school of fish and made them go under the boat and in the net any other side. But he didn't. And you know why I think he didn't? I think he didn't do it because if he had, the disciples would think that it was their fisherman ability that got that net full of fish. And he had to teach them a little lesson of his lordship. And he said, put the nets down on the other side. And they dropped the nets on the other side of the boat, and boy, oh boy, the nets filled. And good old zealous Peter, he sees the one on the shore, it's the Lord. He bails out of that boat, forgets the fish, has got the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we come to the obedience of obeying His lordship and finding that satisfaction in that obedience. There's a joy in it. There's a joy in obeying God. And when we come to that place to obey and we learn that joy, you know what it does to our hearts? It draws our hearts to want to know Him better. To want to be with Him. And I believe that's why Peter couldn't be kept in that boat. And Peter bailed out of that boat and he headed for shore to be with the Lord. And you know the Lord was there. And then he had a little dinner ready for him. What did he have? Had bread and fishes. And that's strange. Same diet he fed him on the hillside. Bread and fish. Same diet he's given to them. Bread and fish. And as they sit down, he says, come and die. Come and die. So with that invitation again to be fed by him, now as his children. Now as his children. He wants his own with them to sit down and to come and die. And so when they sit there with him, he feeds them that bread for their own strength. And then those fish for that strength is to go out to others. He told them he'd make them fishers of men. The first ministry he had was that of feeding. And he did it perfectly. All the while he was here. And you know that invitation of the Lord is for every one of the children of God, come and die. Dan brought up some ideas that could be put right into that. To know his word. To feed upon him. Not only his word as it stands word by word, although that must be, but it is looking through that word that we may know him. That we may know him. And then as we know him, that place of dining becomes a place of fellowship. We fellowship together with him. Now we're not alone. Now we're not alone. We've got comfort. Come and die. We're at the table with him. Okay, the second ministry he had then, I read that he shall gather the lambs with his eyes. And so it seems that the Lord had a ministry of gathering. That's quite a ministry. And it began how creation began. When he created man, and he made him in his own image that he might have fellowship with him. But in man's sin, he went away. God again gives, through Noah, a chance to have dominion again. But it wasn't too long. It was a direction toward Babylon that so many had taken. But in Genesis 49:10, he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. Until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. He had a desire that the people would be gathered around him, and that he would be the center. That he would be the center. And his desire to gather people, he desired to have the saints. As he tells us in Psalm 50 and verse 5. There is where he wants those that are gathered, that have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. That's where the saints are gathered. The saints are those that have been bought and purchased through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. They're those who are set apart in a holy place, sanctified to him. And so he's a desire that his saints would be found in holiness. And so as he gathers, he's gathering holy ones. Holy ones. I was struck one day with reading a book in Hebrews chapter 14 or chapter 12 and verse 14. And he said there, without holiness shall no man see God, shall no man see the Lord. There's a holiness required by the Lord, the shepherd of the sheep for all men. And without that holiness, men are not going to see him. And so when he gathers his own, he's gathering saints, he is gathering holy ones, those that have been brought and gathered, that have made a covenant by sacrifice. And so I'm so glad that he was the sacrifice himself, and he's the covenant. He's the covenant. He gathers his own. Matthew 18:20 tells us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now in the gathering, his desire would be that if it only came to the place of two or three, that he would be there. His presence would be known, and they would be gathered to him. Gathered to him. You know, I rejoice though as I go to the book of the Revelation and I open it to chapter 4 and chapter 5. And I see there the gathering around the throne. And as I look at that gathering around the throne, I see that 24 elders that represent that redeemed company. They're elders that have some crowns. And now because they're gathered around the Lord, there's no honors taken for themselves. Those rewards that they've received, they can take off and lay at His feet. And they can bow before Him and then sing that blessed song, the song of the redeemed. And sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God with His blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Worthy is the Lamb." In a ministry of gathering to the extent that they might one day be brought around Him in a perfect way where men are unfailable and they shall be forever like the shepherd, like the Lord. You know, beloved, that's one thing that thrills my heart, to think that there's a day when this being will never, ever again have a vain thought, have a misdeed, or have my feet take me in a way they should not go. Never again. When I'm totally with Him and like Him. You know why I gather? He gathers because He wants His company conformed to His image. Conformed to Him, His image. Amazing thing that one day we shall be like the Lord. We shall be like the Master. And that'll be forever. He has as well as a ministry of caring. And I would suggest that that would be a ministry of comfort. We read that He carries the lamb with His arms. And there was that place of the shepherd that He would care for His own and comfort those little ones that are born out in the field and gather up the lambs and carry them near the shepherd's tent where they might be fed. Carry them to the place where they would have security. Carry them to the place where they would be safe and the wolf and the bear couldn't get it. I think so many times in the shepherd aspect of our Lord, how He comforts His own. I read in Reader's Digest some years ago of a little article written of the shepherd of years gone by over there. And it said that that shepherd would bring his flock to the fold. And then that he would stand there at the entrance of the fold. He'd have a shepherd's crook in his hand. And as he called his sheep by name, they would come in to the door of the fold one at a time. He'd look each one over, and if he saw one that had something wrong, a disease of the eyes, or was wounded in some way, he would touch it on the shoulders with his staff, and it would step out of line, and it would stand there until all the sheep were in. And then when all the sheep were inside, the shepherd would take, and he would have a pail of cold, fresh water, and he'd take the head of the sheep and put it down into that cold water until the water went up over the face and cooled into the fevered brow and the diseased eyes. And if he had a wounded one, then he'd take the wine and purify the wound, and he'd cleanse it with some of the oil, and then the sheep would be cared for. He comforted each one of them. And I think of the comforting ability of our God. You know, He never left us alone. He called us and He gathered us to Himself. And when He went away, He said, "I'll pray the Father that He send you another comforter." And yet He could say, "I will come to you." And so He did. He sent the Spirit. And the Spirit acts as our comforter today. He comforts us through this precious book and the word that we have here. We can't help but think of the Lord Jesus even as He was here. What a perfect comforter He was. I think of those that were taken in so many sins along the way. I think sometimes of what a comfort He was to His own. For instance, comes to mind Peter. How many times He was just to Peter what Peter needed. Peter was in the sea in a boat in the night with the rest of them. And they see the Lord appearing on the water and they're afraid. And then they recognize Him as He speaks, "Be not afraid, it is I." And Peter, taking a look at the Lord, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. And the Lord said, come. Immediately Peter responded to his lordship. He responded to the one who said, come, and he obeyed. I've been amazed at how many times we pick for Peter part. We say, look at Peter, he took his eyes off the Lord and he jumped down in the water. I say to you, look at Peter before he got in the water. How many of us in this room would have looked at that one standing on that water and said, bid me come to thee? I wonder how many in the boat beside Peter. None of them. I didn't hear any of the rest of them say, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. But the Lord said, Peter, come, and Peter went. But in a weak moment, Peter knew the right place to turn, even though he got weak. He said, Lord, save me, lest I perish. And there was the one who had that comforting care to take up a sheep weak in his spot and lift him up. Peter never got back to that boat by being carried in the Lord's arms, but he got back by the Lord's strength. God doesn't say how he got back to that boat, does he? But I believe Peter walked back. He walked back because the Lord lifted it. He lifted it. And Peter walked again in the strength of that lift. You know, beloved, so many times we get weak along the way. And we need that comforting hand of the Master. Sometimes we fall in the way. You know what I read, the psalmist says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why not? Oh, because he's upheld by the hand of strength. His hand upholdeth him. His hand upholdeth him. You know what that means? It means that he has a hold of us every single moment. There isn't a moment that the shepherd lets us go. So many of us think, I have to hold on so tight that I might slip off. But bless your heart, that's not true at all. He's the one who holds us. And he's the one who comforts us in the way. He said, Peter, come. Peter went. And even though Peter, in obeying that invitation to come, began to fail and to wobble in the way, yet he didn't let him go. He held him up. We need that strength of courage. We need that comfort to know that that's what he's going to do for every single one. Here was Mary at the cross. And when the Lord Jesus is suffering in his extreme suffering and agony from that cross, he could look down and see his mother. And as he sees her standing there, he could say, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He was the perfect Lord, the perfect shepherd, and a perfect son. He entrusted the care of his mother. He never let that one sheep go uncared for, even though he was suffering the agony of the eternity. He suffered it there. And in that time, he showed that comfort. He says he'll carry them in his boot. Did he have any encouragement for Peter again? I'll pick on poor Peter. The Lord told him, Peter, before that cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice. And Peter did it. And then Peter went out and wept. I see how much comfort that broken heart needed. And as Peter goes this way, finally, after that day when the Lord said, come and down, he looks again to Peter, and he said a simple question, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, oh Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love thee. Peter, do you love me? He brought him three times to that test. Do you love me? And finally, Peter's heart just let go. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He can look into Peter's heart and know that Peter's heart really loved him. And what did he say when he said, you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Hello. Now, the master was going to go away, but his sheep were still going to be fed. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. And so he left that ministry there. Peter obeyed his Lord. And Peter passed the same thing on to the elders of the flock. He said, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Paul did the same thing to the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20, 28. Feed the flock of God. Tend the sheep. Tend the sheep. We need so much to tend the sheep. And then lastly, there was that ministry of leading. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Christ stands as the head of the church, and as the head of the church, he's the leader of it. And if he's the leader, then what does the sheep do? He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them as they follow me. My time run out, and I won't take my brother's time to fall at the quick. But listen, one thing used to throw my heart overseas when I flew during the Second World War. We flew between New Guinea and the Philippines, and sometimes there was hours that we would fly looking for a tiny little island out in the middle of the Pacific to find a place to rest in. We'd land at Peleliu and then go from Peleliu on up into the Philippines and then back to Peleliu. And at night when it was pitch black and the radio signals were blacked out because of the enemy, and you were looking for that tiny little island in the middle of that blackness. And when we used to find that little island and land on it, and when we rolled down the runway, there was a jeep at the end of that runway. It had a sign on the back of it, and it said, follow me. Follow me. And I used to think, as I saw that sign, how wonderful. Follow him. You know what he did? He took us to a revetment. He took us to a safe place and a resting place. The journey was over. And that's what our Savior is. As that ministry of leading, he said, follow me. He's the Lord, unfailable. We can't follow.